This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 560 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me once again from Melbourne, Victoria, it is Mr. Glyn Lavender from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au. How are you?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're lying again.
Shh. Didn't hear the dripping sincerity in my voice.
What have you been up to in the last month?
It's been a month.
It has been a month.
No way.
It has been
two and a half weeks.
It's been a month.
Jeepers. Well, first, before we get going,
yeah,
I'd like to dedicate this episode
to
Leona Devon
and
Troy Casper.
Right. Well, Leona Devon started out as a follower of my Dark Table videos on YouTube.
Did she?
And then migrated
and
to Shudders.
She didn't have enough of you over there.
There you go.
So we've got it's Leona, then in brackets, sucker for punishment, Devon.
That's it. That's the one.
Why
are we dedicating this episode to Leona and Troy?
Well, because when I was unwell, they were the first people to pop up on the Shudders Inc. podcast when you said there wasn't going to be an episode to say, hope you get well. And that was just lovely.
That is lovely.
And I've got to say also, Dave Fulton, Philip Johnson and Carl Hemmings, thanks as well, guys. But you're like regulars. You're like part of the family. Yeah. And
we expect Leona from you.
And Leona and Troy, they don't comment a lot. So it's just like a little thank you for listening and thanks for the well wishes. So
nice.
We're all mostly on the mend. The three of the four of us were very sick.
Oh.
My eldest kid was not sick in the slightest. That's probably because he stays in his bedroom the entire time and never doesn't get near anyone else's germs, just his own.
Right.
My wife was bedridden for a week, and my youngest was bedridden for a week, I was sick as a dog, but I had to run around and do everything because they were worse than me. I got no respite from it at all, unfortunately.
No sympathy from anybody.
Of course not, because everyone's sick. Yeah. And then worse than you. And then had to run around. Just like stuff like, my elders had a drama class he had to go for 3 hours. But it's an hour and a quarter drive to get to it.
Oh, what?
3 hours sitting and waiting, then an hour drive home.
Yikes. Yeah,
so it's five. So when you're feeling crap and you've got to be out for 5 hours.
Yeah, that's harsh.
Yeah, good thing I like you, kid, is what I'm saying.
At least there's room for a 3 hour power nap in the midst there.
Well, there was definitely a power nap going on. That's for absolutin'. We're all well on the mend.
Excellent.
I don't think I've done anything else in that month, which is kind of pretty sad when you think about it. Yeah. But I will say I've relaunched my workshops this week.
I saw that.
So that's exciting. That's a bit of a plus. Yeah, I went out to the old Tamron HQ a couple of days ago and sourced So I used to run all my workshops out of their head office.
Right.
Tamron's head office in the Melbourne ones. Yeah, that's amazing boardroom and amazing sort of communal area, kitchen areas, and very funky company. So it was a great place to run events out of. But then they moved. And then I just, COVID and all the other stuff. So finally, I went and they said, we want you to come back, Glyn. So I said, all right. So the first one, the end of this month, and another. So I'm maybe going to try and look at running one a month, just see how I go and build me stamina back up, I guess. Yeah.
Sure.
And whilst I was out there, I came across some new lighting that I've been wanting to look at for ages, but I just never got out there. This is how long it's been since I've been out there. I took my father-in-law's 24-70 Tamron lens out about, it must have been like June last year to get repaired.
Right.
And I just picked it up 2 days ago. It's been sitting on their office for like 8 months or something.
Right.
So a bit slack. But they're this brand of lights called Hobo Lights. Like Hobo, like, little as Hobo on the back of a truck. Hobo Light, L-I-T-E. And they're just, they're the coolest looking lights I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That goes a long way. They don't have to be good, just look good. but they're a great form factor, they're a great size, and they're good power. And so I'm looking at, definitely using them for the Bright Festival of Photography this year for my LED lighting workshops, but also taking to India with me
Nice.
So it's got this beautiful little softbox that comes with, and the packs down like an umbrella, packs down in about 0.2 of a second. Yeah. But it's a proper softbox, not an umbrella.
Wow.
So it's forward facing. It looks fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what sort of lighting I can get out of those. So I'm gonna I'm a bit excited. So I'm gonna probably I've got a few ideas for a couple of shoots I might want to go out and do by myself. Even that's how excited I am.
Fantastic.
So that's pretty good. Yeah. So so hobo lights, and if I like them, I might consider being an ambassador for them. So
awesome.
So yeah, so that's all pretty good. And then I had some more good news today.
Yeah,
one of my favourite bands is coming to town tomorrow. They're in your big neck of the woods tonight,
right?
Dirty Honey. They're in town tomorrow playing.
Yep.
And I saw on Instagram that their guitarist, who's just he's just amazing. He posted a photo up from the they've just done the Byron Bay Blues Fest.
Oh, yep.
And they just posted a photo someone took of him up there. And I was just put in the comment, wouldn't mind a photographer's pass for Melbourne. Private message me, goes, oh, I love your photos. Definitely organise a photo pass.
Nice.
Come on down. So I'm shooting the band tomorrow night, which is bloody ripper, so. Yeah, it's like actual taking photos for an actual purpose.
Nice.
Which is kind of odd.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward. I was really looking forward to the concert, but now I've got an added incentive, a little added.
Yeah.
Add a bit of pleasure there to go even capture a couple of decent images would be pretty darn good. So
awesome.
So a bit excited about that.
Lovely.
And whilst we've been on hiatus, if you want to call it that, I heard someone got a new lens.
Yeah.
Have you still got it? Have you returned it?
No. I've still got it. So, believe it or not, we were talking. This was Kath and I just before we, a couple of weeks before we headed to Darwin.
Yeah.
I can't remember what caused it to come up, but I was talking about the 150 to 500 mil Tamron that I took to Alaska.
Yeah.
And she says to me, well, you've got money from your dark table stuff. Why don't you just buy it?
Do you make money from dark table?
Yes, mate.
So you can make money from podcasts. Hang on. Let's just unpack this for a second, Bruce. You can make money from podcasts. Oh, and there's a video thing, isn't it? YouTube.
That's right.
It's not like no money in podcasts. Okay,
right.
YouTube. I'll let you off. Go on.
So I thought, well, I'm not going to give her a chance to retract that offer.
No. When somebody offers, says you should buy something.
The
next day. Bang. How awesome.
Yeah. So.
And have you used it?
Honestly, no.
When your wife said to you, you should just buy it, you go, nah, I shouldn't because I'll never use it.
Honestly, I lugged it all the way to Darwin and
didn't have
a single reason to use it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. There was one moment where we were out in the middle of Litchfield National Park where I saw some wedge-tailed eagles. And by the time I'd, jumped out of the car, gone to the boot, taken the 2875 off, put the 150 to 500 on there. It was like, look around. It's like, hang on, where did those birds go?
So this is when you turn to your wife and say, see, honey, this is why I need a second body. See? And I had the lens on all the time ready to go, and I wouldn't have missed that photo opportunity.
So anyway.
So you always be looking for an opportunity to
totally,
improve on the kids.
Totally. What I had a chance to do was actually read the instruction manual for the lens, which is not something like...
Hang on.
Yes.
Hang on. You are that type of person, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my. Oh. Hands up, folks on the interwebs here. Who's ever done that?
Well.
You put it on. You zoom in, you zoom out.
I learned something by reading the instructions.
What did you learn?
That there are, well, I didn't need to read the instructions to work out that there were three different types of vibration control built into the lens.
Yes.
But what I did find out from reading the instructions, because I thought to myself, why do you need three types of vibration control? The second version, version 2 vibration control, is specifically designed to cope with vertical movement when you are doing panning shots.
Yes.
I thought was really interesting. I didn't realise that they had done that with a lens.
They've done that.
Yeah, apparently they have LinkedIn.
So you should have watched the YouTube video because it's much more interesting than So whilst you're waiting for the lens to arrive, that's when you watch YouTube videos on the thing you just bought.
Yeah, right.
Or if you're even smarter, you watch YouTube videos of the thing you want to buy, yeah. Then you realise, oh, I'm never going to use that. Don't buy it. You know, like that remote control, that thing cable release trigger, the trigger thing that you bought and sold. Yeah. No, did you ever take it out of the box?
Yeah.
Okay, so look at it.
Yeah, I set it up on my camera and I played with it for about half an hour and that was it.
But you didn't take any photos?
No.
No. You sold it as a virgin.
That's it.
Completely unfettered by photos. Oh,
that's the one.
That's right. If you sell your lens in the year or two, it might be the same.
Shop, is it? Sorry.
You can sell your lens in a couple of years, it might be the same. It's never had a shot fired in anger.
Okay, no, but I can tell you now, I will get use out of that lens. It won't,
shooting
it,
what?
It may not be often, but when the time arises, that is a lens that I could just see myself getting so much fun out of and so much good use from. Like I
What time is that though, Bruce?
Well, I don't know, but there will be a time. I'd love to do it, like next time I do a model shoot, I'd love to use that lens.
Just take yourself down to the zoo.
Yeah, could get some
orangutans and some.
That means going to Sydney. That's just dirty.
Don't you have one of those like rural zoos that's got like alligators? You live up there in that part of the world, don't you? Like Australia Zoo.
You mean the Centrelink office?
For those who don't know, what's Centrelink, Bruce?
That's where people get a handout from the government because they're too lazy to work.
No, that's just not true, Bruce.
Okay.
It's somewhat true.
Half of them don't want
Do you know how hard it is to find a job these days?
Not very.
I heard of a company that sells cupcakes at a shopping centre.
Right.
I know, there's little stalls in the middle of the centre, right?
Yeah.
They wanted someone for 4 days a week for 3 hours a day.
Right. So a 12-hour week.
They got 150 applications.
Right.
So 149 people didn't get a cupcake job. There's that many people looking for work that 150 people applied for a 12-hour-a-week job.
Right.
I know a guy who's just moved over here from Ireland, and I'm trying to get him a job.
Right.
Can get nothing.
Yeah, right.
Of every contact I know, there is nothing available anywhere. Not a single job to be found through all the contacts I know in this industry, which is a lot.
Yeah.
This week, someone wanted a Fuji X100 6, the hardest camera in the world to find, right?
Why?
Well, there's 150,000, or was it 500,000 orders for them.
Right.
And they can make 1,500 or 15,000 a month.
Jeez.
So do the math. Yeah. So the hardest camera in the world to find is the Fuji X100 6.
Right.
I found one for the guy.
Wow. Right?
So I can get stuff sometimes. I can get stuff done. I can't get a job for this guy.
Yeah.
You know. And it's like, and even in fact, the guy who I got the Fuji for used to own a bunch of companies. He's now mostly retired because he's a rich bugger. He sold them. But I said, I want you. He put a call out on his Facebook saying, I need it for a birthday gift on the 15th. If anyone can find one, I'll owe them whatever it takes.
Wow.
So I said, okay, quid pro quo, find my mate a job. He can't do it either. He can't find work for him. So it's like, so you might be stuck at the Centrelink. Centrelink. I've never been there. Centrelink office because you can't get a bloody job.
Yeah.
You know, it is, but there's also a lot of,
Yeah.
I've registered 18 times, and that's the worst thing about being registered 18 times. You're going to go in 18 times.
That's right.
To get your money, That's a lot of commitment per week,
That's exactly right.
Yeah. You're only earning on that. If you registered 18 times, I think what you're getting was at probably about $7,000 a week. That's a lot. Yeah, I don't know. 18 visits for $7,000. I'm not sure it's worth the money. Yeah. You also can I combine them into one visit? Look, this is my 18 identities I'm using. can I just have it in one go, please?
Now, whilst we're talking new gear acquisitions. as we were. As you may or may not recall, for the last 10, 12, 14-odd years, for my off-camera flash work, I was using a set of FlashWave 3 triggers.
You were, that's right. Yes. Which I got you all those years ago, if I remember correctly.
I think you might have helped.
Yeah. I'm the one who got FlashWave into Australia as a brand.
That's right. That's right.
So, definitely.
So it finally died.
Oh, so that's not bad for 14 years.
Absolutely. I think
were they like $100
or something? Dropped it one too many times, to be honest.
They were good, though. They were solid metal, most of them. They were so good, yeah. Korean manufacturer.
Right, okay.
Just for no point other than say, well, yeah, they make good stuff there, obviously, in Korea.
So I was on the lookout for something to replace it.
And what did you do?
Well, my main flash, because I've got four speed lights.
Yeah.
And my main one is a Yongnuo YN660. And it's one of those that's got the 2.4 gig, can operate four channels, four groups, blah, 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 blah. So I went looking for the trigger that you can mount on your camera, which allows you to control your groups and your blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, I picked up one of those for about $75, and it allows me to change the output value of the flash
Flash individually.
Yes, which is a function that I never had with the FlashWave. I had
couldn't
to go
do that
to
with the
FlashWave,
So that's why I only ever did flash like about 2 feet away from the subject, and me about 3 feet. Then you have to walk about 4 feet there and back to change power. You know, if you flash close, keep your stomach big. But it's amazing what you can get for $75. Though,
I know
that it can do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Have you used it yet?
Yeah. And I think the flash waves, when I got them, they cost me about $200 for the trigger and the receiver.
Yeah, probably like $100 each, something like that.
So it just goes to show you how much the technology has advanced, but also got cheaper.
Look, it's something like a Pocket Wizard, basic Pocket Wizard, which didn't allow you any of that sort of stuff. They were like $400 for a trigger and a receiver. And that included having to plug your trigger, your receiver, in via a cable into your place and just have it dangling on your light stand.
Your PC
which is a
sync socket.
Pain in the buttsky, you know? because it always come out just as you're about to take the most important, best shot of the whole damn day.
That's it.
Terrible system. Yeah, no, that whole grouping system, and if you're running multiple flashes, you can power up and down one flash fabulous.
So loving that.
Oh, good stuff, don't you? Yeah. You've had a big gear. Did you tell your missus about those ones?
I told her that the flash wave had died, and I told her how long I'd had it, and she goes, oh, well, you're due a new one then. So
we should say the same. Bet your missus, how long you had her for? Honey, using that same logic. I tried that on my wife, but now she just looked at. She gave me that look. You know the look?
I know the look.
You know the look. Yeah. We're married. We know the look. Yes. That look. Oh,
but in the last month, actually, it was probably, it must have been around about the time we recorded our last episode.
Apparently, that was a month ago.
It was a month ago. I got shooting the new portraits for the on-air staff for the ABC at Newcastle.
The nude portraits of the on-air staff? What?
The new portraits.
Oh, sorry. COVID's still in the ear, I think.
That's it.
Santa's just warning that nude.
So,
And how'd you go?
Yeah. I'm very happy with them. Staff are
indoors,
very happy
outdoors?
With them. No, in the studio.
Oh, you ordered headshots.
In the studio. Yeah, sort of in situ. Some of them are just posed. One of them, our drive presenter, is a very outgoing, very lively kind of character. So his...
Hate him already.
His is more like he's actually in the process of talking on air, where the other three are more just a staged portrait.
Ah.
But, yeah, they look great. We got them...
So where are these pictures?
They are hanging in the foyer of the ABC at Newcastle.
No. Where are they for me to look at?
Oh, for you to look at. Okay, let me just bring
I don't care about the damn foyer of the ABC Newcastle, mate.
Of course you don't.
No one ever visits there, though. They wouldn't it just be that they can see themselves when they walk in?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It is pretty much like that. So let's see if I drop that in there and hit send. That's our Brekkie Duo. And then this is our drive.
Oh, it's in blue and white.
It is.
Blue, black and white.
It is. So the second one is our drive guy, who's, as I said, quite animated. And then we've got... And so those two are shot landscape, and then the other two are shot portrait. And there's a reason for that. So then we've got our mornings guy, and then the last one is the
guy. Does he have to fiddle his own dials?
All of them do. Yeah, this is not like the BBC where you...
It's the ABC. This guy couldn't even afford a chair.
No, none of them have a chair. They all stand.
Oh, don't they? That's not much of a fun working place.
The whole desk is height adjustable. It's motorized.
Some of these people are pretty short, so they'd want to be. Otherwise, it'd be up to their chin.
That's right. So
does the studio have like a webcam so the audience can watch whilst they're presenting?
No.
Do they do that kind of stuff?
Bizarrely, there is a webcam in the backup studio, but not in the main on-air studio. Yeah. And I'm not sure why that is. And to be honest, I've never actually seen anybody use the webcam. I couldn't even tell you how to set it up. If someone asked me, hey, can you set up the webcam so we can do X, Y, Z, I wouldn't know how.
So I know a lot of radio stations these days.
Yeah.
Do the visual as well.
Of course.
So what was your lighting source, dude?
My Yong Nuo flash through a softbox, fired with my new trigger.
Testing the new trigger straight. They've been used in anger already, mate.
That's it. I said I'd use it.
There's some lovely shots, ready?
Thank you.
I'm not sold on the blue, black and white.
Okay. You're entitled to be wrong.
Was that a choice they wanted? Was that something that was asked for?
No, that was mine. That was mine. And it was the same colour treatment that I had on the previous set of portraits, which had been hanging in the foyer for the last 5 years. So I decided, yeah, well, I'll stick with the same.
I was wrong then, I'll be wrong now.
There you go. So I decided to stick with the same colour palette just for consistency.
Yeah, well, it makes sense if you match them up. Otherwise, you've got to redo all the other ones as well.
The idea of two portrait and two landscape is just in the way that they're hung on the walls. You've got your two portrait ones are diagonally opposite and your two landscape ones are diagonally opposite, and it sort of makes a nice kind of rectangle. So, yeah.
Nice. The one with the guy with the check shirt on.
Yes.
It looks like Uncle Daryl or something. I don't know. Maybe there should have been a microphone in shot. It kind of looks like he's... I don't know, taking orders at the bar or something.
Yeah, I kind of didn't notice that he had it pushed that far away from his face, but yeah.
I mean, because the one of the two, the guy, that's fine, he doesn't need a microphone because of the viewpoint of the shot.
Yeah.
You know, that it's obviously a portrait, but the other guys are looking like they're presenting and it kind of looks a bit more incongruous not having a mic. But no, they're good serviceable shots. So can't critique any of those.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I can, but yeah, what's the point? other than the blue, black and white. Oh, is that your softbox? Is it a rectangular softbox?
Yes.
I see it in the window there.
The drive presenter shot, you can see the softbox over in the
window. But no one would know that, but that is but us.
That's right. That's
only,
it.
Only we care about like that. Anal, bloody retentive, bloody over the top. Good stuff. That would have been a bit of fun for you.
It was.
Yeah, reason. You should have taken your 150 to 500 in, dude, and done some eyeball shots or something, you know?
I didn't own it at that point. I think I might have had a bit of trouble focusing.
What were you shooting with on that? Like 24 to 70?
The 2875.
The
Tamron 2.8.
Yeah. Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah. Which they just released for Nikon this week.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So that's...
As in like a second gen or a... For Nikon FZ, for their
mirrorless
cameras.
Yeah.
Right.
Which are a different mount than their other ones. Mind you, they are calling it a G2, which is, I think a bit,
Right.
I guess it's built on the same design as other brands, but if it's the first one you're making for something, it shouldn't have been called G2, but that's just me being anal.
Since 2005, Shutters Inc. has been a labour of love, but beyond the time required to produce it, there is also a financial commitment. If you find value in the podcast and would like to help keep the servers running, hit up the Patreon link, which is in the show notes. Even a couple of dollars a month will help. Much appreciated. Now, back to the podcast.
Now, I want to pick your brains here for a second.
There we go.
Because, and I made this comment to Kath.
Don't you want to pick my brains?
I'm considering.
Oh, dear.
And I want to hear whether you think this is a good idea or
I wouldn't do it.
Bad idea. Getting rid of my Sony 70-200 F4. And the reason is, 90% of the time, whenever I throw that lens onto my camera, I'm at the long end of it.
Yeah.
And I can now, okay, admittedly, I can't get 200 at F4 on this new lens because it's whatever it is.
5.3 or something like that,
yeah,
probably.
Something like
4.7
that.
Or something like
so,
that. So, yeah.
Okay, I can't get it quite as wide open, but I honestly just don't know that I will ever use that 70-200 again.
Ah.
Now, obviously, it does give me a big hole in the focal range because I'd have nothing between 75 and 150.
Yeah.
But, you know. But
you could pick up a nice little nifty 100 or 120 mil lens or something, 135 mil, something, yeah. Just a little lens, just a little prime to play with, you know. Yeah. I'm not sure who makes one, but like the Artisan brand or something like that. Look, I would say
like
if you...
135, 28.
No, I think 135 is too close to your one. Disappointed to 150, but something like 100 mil would be kind of nice.
100 mil macro.
Exactly, and it also be nice because it's something that's very small, which you don't necessarily have either. Which is so there's some sort of wiggle room there. I would say I would be reticent to do it only because of the weight difference.
Yeah.
So weight and bulk. So there's going to be times where you want to go out and you want to shoot with that sort of focal length, but you're out all day or you're going on holidays again and you don't want to be carrying around a 150 to 500 just for those occasional 200 mil shots you want to take. You know what I mean? Whereas with the 70 to 200, it's smaller, it's lighter, it fits in your bag, but it's not like you really know you've got it with you. So I'd be weighing up carefully how much could I reasonably get for it versus the trade-off of no longer having it.
Right.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what could you get for maybe $400, do you think?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah. I'd look into find out what they're selling for. And I'd also say the demand for being an F4 is not going to be huge either. So you may even struggle to sell it because most people, when they're told to go and buy their better 70-200 lens, they're all looking for the 2.8.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you might.
Yes and no. I mean, there will always be people like me who I don't want to spend the extra money for the 2.8.
Unfortunately, there will always be people like you.
2.8. So yeah, I don't know.
No, that's why most brands don't make a F4, dude, because they just don't sell enough to make it worthwhile. So here's the thing: there's not many people like you who read instruction manuals for lenses, who buy. I won't say the price in case your wife hears it. Yeah. Really expensive triggers. Take them out of the box, put it back in the box, then sell it a lot less than they pay for it. Yeah. Buy a really big, expensive, heavy lens, carry it all the way with them on holiday. Don't take a photo.
So I'm just on eBay looking at that lens. Pre-owned.
Yeah, that's what they call second-hand, Bruce. Yeah.
1500, 1350, 1200, 1100, 1400. So
okay, now eBay up something Sony and 100 mil.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'd stick with Sony, to be honest.
It doesn't necessarily have to be Sony, but if you Google Sony and 100 mil, you'll get other brands as well.
Yeah,
because it'll be Sony mount. You know what I mean? That'll come up in the description.
So Takina Firin.
See, straight away.
800.
What lens is that?
That's a 100mm f2.8 macro.
Nice. Great portrait lens, too.
For E-mount, yeah. The Lauer 100mm 2.8.
Yeah, wouldn't be, yeah.
Wouldn't be what?
I wouldn't be buying that.
Right. Not a fan? Because Lauer is the brand of my 15mm.
Yeah. And look, you can get away with a lot of stuff at 15mm that you can't get away with at 100mm.
Yeah.
In as far as image quality. And if you're looking at something that for quality imagery.
Oh, there's
what have you seen?
No, it's an old A-mount lens, but a Minolta Macro 100 2.8. $125
Nuts. I used to love those. I used to sell those back in the day.
Yeah.
Just fabulous pieces of kit. Their MC Rockhorse stuff was just so nicely built, so lovely. The thing is, I'm not sure what Sigma have in that sort of range, you know, with their Sigma art stuff or whatever.
And
There's certainly, if you could get a reasonable sum for it, buy something that's going to cover that gap in the middle, and then you could always rent a lens if you were really desperate for a 70 to 200 at some point.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, if you really felt.
Thinking about your comments about, you know, going traveling, I just can't imagine going traveling and not taking the 150 to 500 with me.
And that's the thing. You've got to consider the weight, and it's a bigger lens. Yeah. It's a heavier lens, and you've got to lug that around with you for 10 hours walking in a day.
That's it.
In an idea, and we're getting older, you might not have noticed.
I have noticed.
It's harder to carry stuff around. Yeah, look, I would feel, here's the thing. I would wait 6 months.
Yep.
And I'd try and shoot as much as I could in that 6 months and see how many times you'd, but never take the 70 to 200 with you.
Yeah.
Only ever, have that put away somewhere.
Yep.
And see if you hit roadblocks.
Yep.
And if you don't, I haven't even missed it.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you take to Darwin? Because you just come back from Darwin.
That's right. I took the 150 to 500.
And the 28 to 75.
And the 15. And left the 7200 at home.
And you shot 15 and 28 to 75 most of the time, mostly 28 to 75.
Yeah.
Did you get many photos?
Nothing. A bunch of family stuff, which are just, typical,
the most important stuff. Yeah.
A couple of sunsets, which were a bit meh, whatever, you know. But yeah, that's about it.
But you didn't miss, the 7200 at all?
Not at all.
Yeah. Well, I think you might have answered your own question.
Yeah.
Maybe look at that $125 manual focus Minolta lens with an adapter. Pop it on your camera. Why not?
Yeah.
Easy enough to do.
Yeah.
And bit of fun put a bit of fun back in photography.
I'll look around and see what else is around in the 100 mil range.
Report back next episode, which is about 8 months' time or something. Yeah, the way we go. Fabulous.
Yeah.
Ah, good stuff. So what else have we got to talk about? Anything else interesting?
Well, Philip Johnson sent us the news that Nikon had its checkbook out and was going shopping.
I saw that. They bought a red or something, didn't they?
They did. So
I'm not sure why.
This is probably, I kind of wondered that myself. I haven't had a chance to read the any of the stories, but I did see it, and it is a couple of weeks old now.
There's a couple of things. I'm not sure why, and I didn't know Nikon had a checkbook anymore. I thought they had like a money box, maybe a piggy bank,
it's about all that's left.
Maybe they bought it
change.
For what was in the piggy bank. Nikon bought red for loose change.
Yeah. So for those who are not aware, red is one of the more popular cinema cameras in use today, and they have a range of different cameras within their lineup. Yeah, why Nikon would want to go into that, I'm not entirely sure. Maybe they see it as a camera company like themselves, but one that's actually making money
and actually selling cameras. Nikon will leverage its acquisition to expand the fast-growing professional digital cinema camera market, building on both companies' business foundations and networks, and promising an exciting future of product development. They'll continue to push the boundaries of what's possible in film and video production. Well, maybe. But interesting, they have a cutting-edge V-Raptor X proprietary raw compression technology. So maybe there's something in their software as well that they thought, that's something we could get value out of.
Possibly.
What it allows them to do with their gear. So, interesting. It'd be one of those watch this space, I guess, isn't it?
That's interesting you pick up on that, because it makes me think of the latest offering from Sony, the A9 Mark III. The frame rate on that thing is just phenomenal. Now, I don't know whether that's because of the global shutter or because of other technologies within there, but maybe that's why Nikon has an interest in the raw compression. Could that help to extend the, you know, the burst rate for completely raw image capture. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
What else have we got? What else? Breaking the internet with interest.
Carl sent me he sent it as an email, but it was a link to a vertical video of Jared Polin, otherwise known as Fro Knows Photo, going off his nut at Petapixel. Because they shared some images of something that I kind of lost the plot, and because
sounds like he did too, by the sounds.
Because of the video, I couldn't actually find the link for it. So yeah, Carl,
what was his beef?
Yeah,
as a general,
fill me in. What was it about?
I'm asking you. What was his beef?
I've forgotten.
I'm glad we brought that up. Something happened. Someone said something, and they weren't happy about it.
Yeah, well, that's about it. What have you got on
News
your
at 11.
List? What do you got
not
on your
not much. Well, Ricoh GR ever right. announced a new camera, and I love the GR series cameras, but
okay.
They've got one with what I call the thumbprint, but they call the highlight diffusion filter.
Okay.
And the highlight diffusion filter is you turn on and it diffuses any highlights in your photo.
Oh, so it's reducing the dynamic range.
It just gives a fuzzy glow. You know when you put your finger on your phone lens and you pick it up, and everything's sort of hazy?
I try not to do that when I'm taking photos.
I know, but you know, sometimes you pick it up and it's already on there and it's already hazy and everything's a bit glowy.
Okay.
That's what it does. The fingerprint filter built in, but it's built in. You can turn it on and off. If you already own one of the old ones, just stuck your finger on your lens every now and then, and you've got your own version.
A bit of finger grease will do the trick every time.
I'm sure some people will find it enjoyable, but I found the comments more enjoyable.
Of course, it's often the best place
to go. Such as Ricoh didn't want to put in the effort to produce a GR4, so they invited Holger to collaborate. So Holger, for those who don't know, the people who make their like $20 plastic disposables, 35mm cameras with all the wacky sort of effects and stuff. I found this announcement fascinating that it reflects the current zeitgeist in the photographic world. Users desire degraded image quality, and they get there through various means. Crappy vintage lenses, diffusion filters, old point-and-shoots, in-your-face flash, cinematic recipes and effects, etc., etc. It's a massive trend that reflects in the zillions of images shared across all platforms, a reaction against perfection, a preference for character, a puzzling paradox for sure. I think it says a lot more about people not wanting to have to edit their photos to get the look like they're just as good as their cell phones have trained them to be used to. Which I was kind of I don't know what that guy's doing hanging out in DP review, but he's in the wrong spot, or deep review for those correctly speaking people. And here's one I thought was a little on the odd side, Bruce.
Yeah.
It's the same with cheese. Our cheese is usually bad because the producers wanted the population to eat what they wanted to offer. So the majority got used to it, and now only a minority appreciates artisan cheeses. Generalizations are not stupidity, even if most Western overly concerned about individualism think so. Medication studies won't work without generalization.
What?
I know, right? He starts with cheese, goes on to something about being generally stupid, and then talks about medication. That guy belongs on TV. So I thought that was definitely worth the view.
Yeah.
And then a segment I call Dutch Fush.
Right.
Which is if a New Zealander went to Fushland, Dutch. There's this place in Dutchland where they've got an underwater doorbell camera,
okay.
Like a ring, but put underwater next to this dam wall, like this is like a lock, a little lock wall. And during spring, the fish come up the river to try and migrate to go up for spawning, but they get blocked by this wall. So they put this underwater doorbell camera, and they get the public to monitor it. And you can have up to 950 people watching at a time. And for the overflow, because there's overflow, Bruce, there's a live YouTube channel to watch. So you sit there, and when a fish swims up to the camera, you press the doorbell, and it ding-dong, it rings to a guy upstairs, and he opens the gate to let the fish through. I thought this is awesome. And you can go in there and people have taken screen captures of the best looking fish shots, you know, and you can look at mind you, they're mostly kind of green, so a bit like your photos of your ABC staff. Very similar, more green than blue, but fascinating stuff. So I'm good. I have a lot of trouble sleeping, Bruce. A lot of trouble sleeping. So I normally have something playing all night long.
Right.
Like movies, documentaries, trying to educate myself.
And now it's fish cam.
I think I might put the old fish cam. I could be asleep in seconds. Seconds with this sucker. So that's it. That's all I got. That's all I had. Oh, no, it's not. I saw this other video, and it's not on any site that I can see. I don't know. It was only on Facebook only through some engineering company.
Right.
But it's a little video of this guy in India, it looks like India, could be Pakistan,
right,
who totes around an old 100-year-old camera and does portraits of people, but he actually develops the photo inside the camera and produces the photo almost not quite on the spot, within a few minutes of him taking your portrait.
Right.
And so it's basically a camera and dark room all in one. And it's this massive old box camera. It was just really cool. And I thought maybe people would like to have a look at that because it was indeed pretty cool to watch. Okay. So,
Link will be in the show notes.
The link will be in the show notes.
Awesome.
So that's all I got.
I'm really excited to hear that you're getting the
band back together.
Workshops up and running again. Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
Thanks. Right. Me too. I'm
Is this an indication that your health is on the mend?
Well, I got some good news from the heart doctor recently. He said he's pleased.
He found it?
He said cold, mostly made of stone, kind of tiny. But I had to wear like a monitor for a week just recently.
Right.
And then monitor. And over the entire week, there was only 11 incidents of stuff going wrong. So he reckoned that was pretty good.
Wow. Yikes.
I'm not sure. So he was pleased with that.
Right. Okay.
Didn't really fill me with confidence. Only 11 times when it did something it shouldn't have done.
Right.
But yeah, enough that he goes, well, just don't go crazy, but yeah, go. Yeah. I think he made mostly out of his office. So I'm looking forward to it. So I'm gonna look at doing maybe one a month or so and see how it goes and
nice.
And just get back to enjoying myself a bit, you know?
Awesome. Awesome.
So if anyone's in Melbourne, wants to come to a workshop, the links are on my Facebook page.
Nice. All right, mate. Well, good to chat.
You too, mate. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, hopefully. Well, hopefully someone tuned in.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. Or maybe people do what I do and they have this playing so they can go to sleep.
They could very well do that.
So you know? Maybe, no, our numbers
would
be much
higher.
Maybe
we should just whisper quietly so that we don't jolt them awake.
This is me being quiet, Bruce.
Right, of course.
No, we could put this up on – we should put the whole – was it episode 560, did you say?
Yes.
We should link them all together in one big audio file with like a video visualizer and put it up on YouTube. Yeah. Sleep or death. Something like that.
You'll wish for both.
You'll wish for both. If you can't have one, you'll definitely wish for the other. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
All right, mate. Good to chat. We'll
you too.
Talk to you all soon.
Bye.
You've been listening to Shudders Inc. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuddersincpodcast.com.